In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
That part I'm proud of. This is where we belong. We should be in these games. And we've got the best fan base in the country. We travel in a normal year. This place would be rocking if it was in the Garden. I've said it. The greatest satisfaction to me right now, today, is that this was the 11th ranked program in the history of college basketball, and we're at that level right now. And we've got that. And we're not picked 10th, 12th, 13th in the league. We're playing in the Jimmy V on national TV against the second-ranked team in the country. And Scott's had that thing there for a lot of years. And, you know, that's exciting. It's not something that we take for granted, but I do think it's where we should be. And it's nice to be back there and have our chance to play on that stage.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher, here with you. And tonight is the night. At 9 p.m. Central Time, Illinois basketball is back on the national stage as number 5 Illinois takes on number 2 Baylor in the Jimmy V Classic at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. For Illinois basketball, this is a chance to become again the proud basketball program that fans long have wanted it to return to take on one of the top programs in the country right now. For Baylor, Scott Drew has had a fantastic decade and a half long run, and this is by far his best team that he's put together. A talented veteran group that has a lot of experience, and last year before the shutdown was expected to be a number one seed. Almost all their key players are returning, but of course, most of Illinois' key players return from its best team in more than a decade and a half. And Io DeSumo, Trent Frazier, Adam Miller, Kofi Coburn, Andre Curbelo, and the rest of the crew are ready for a huge game tonight, as Illinois, with a chance to get a huge resume-boosting win, but most importantly, test itself and find out just how good they actually are. So far, Illinois is 3-0, two blowout victories in back-to-back wins and back-to-back days over North Carolina A&T and Chicago State. Of course, the Illini had a big scare from Ohio and star guard Jason Preston, who had a very slim lead with just under 7 seconds remaining. But again, Io DeSumo with his heroics gets fouled, hits two free throws for Illinois to stay undefeated heading into this big time matchup. The first of two out of three games against top 10 teams. Illinois will play at number 6 Duke next week. So this is the first big opportunity for Illinois to show just how big of a jump it has taken in the last couple years under Brad Underwood, and for Brad Underwood to show just what he has built the last couple years with this program. And I figured we could talk about this quote-unquote legacy game that Io DeSumo was talking about with an Illini legend. Deion Thomas is the all-time leading scorer for the University of Illinois basketball program. He is the analyst on Illini Radio Network alongside Brian Barnhart, great play-by-play man. And he now does his own podcast, Champagne on Ice, which is part of the new Field of 68 podcast network with Jeff Goodman and all those guys there. And Deion has had some great early guests on his podcast, but he also has seen this team up close, knows them so well, and of course, he is a basketball expert. So I figured to get ready for the big game, let's talk to the big man, Deion Thomas of Champagne on Ice podcast, Illini Radio Network. Let's break down what we've learned from Illinois the first three games and what he thinks of this matchup against Baylor. That's coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Welcome back into the Illini Inquirer podcast. And as always, love talking with this guy, not just about basketball, but just life in general. It's Deion Thomas, Illini legend. Deion, how you been, man? I've seen you at the games, but we're all trying to stay distant from each other, so I haven't been able to dap you up yet. But you got a different vantage point on Radio Row this year.
First of all, it sucks that I can't get close to you guys. I love getting pounds before we have an opportunity to sit down. It's come the ritual, but I will say this. Love the new vantage point. At least I don't have to worry about Coach Underwood walking in front of us while we're trying to see, and then I have to look up and get the call on the big board. But, yeah, it's cool. It's actually really strange with the whole social distancing, but I understand and the precautions have to be taken. I'm just glad to be sitting back in the State Farm Center watching basketball, man.
Yeah, so Deion, I want to get into this. We got a top five matchup we have to break down. But I guess let's get to that first here before we break down basically what we've seen. But the number five basketball team in the country right now, 3-0, they didn't fall, even though they got close to it. Just as a proud alum, what's it mean to you that at least this week and next week, they're going to have this stage where they're in a nationally relevant non-conference matchup against Baylor and then next week again against Duke?
Well, I mean, it's really, as an alum, as you said, and I tell people, somebody that has bled on those uniforms, if you remember that Missouri game, someone that has bled on those uniforms, I mean, it's an honor, one, to watch what Coach Underwood and his staff is doing. It pleases me to the utmost to watch what Fletch is doing in the development of those young players, physically as well as mentally, you know, because it takes a lot of work. I mean, and I know a lot of people don't understand how difficult it is to turn around a program and really put your stamp on it. But where they are right now is where, one, we rightfully should be. I'm one of those spoiled people that know that we are one of the best and top basketball programs in the country. So it pleases me to no end to see us back there. But you got to take your hat off to what Coach Underwood has done and what those players have done in order to put us back in the spotlight. And as you mentioned, two top 10 games coming up, one against Baylor tomorrow, which is huge because that Baylor team, man, is really good. And then following that up, of course, with Duke.
Well, Deion, you're also doing the new pod with the I believe, the Field of 65, right? Tell me a little bit about the pod. I know you got some episodes out already. And, of course, with all your connections, you got some big guests that have been on there.
Yeah, it's what they, you know, Jeff Goodman and Rob Dowsett started a new multi-market media platform where they're going to be hosting podcasts. It's the Field of 68, and it's covering the 68 top programs in the country. And how do you host or have anything like that if you don't include the University of Illinois? So I think they recognized that, understood that, and we talked, and, you know, thank God we were able to make it happen, because I think it's a great platform to cover the University of Illinois and all of our history, of course. But, yeah, it's been good. Had some great guests on so far. Started it off. Coach Underwood was my inaugural guest. So anytime, and, you know, you've interviewed Coach many times.
Yeah.
Coach is great. I mean, he's one of the best interviews and interviewers that you're going to get. So when you follow that up, I follow that up with Io DeSumo, you know, our preseason All-American, preseason All-Big Ten player, and who is playing flat out of his mind right now. And I'm sure that, you know, it'll get more difficult down the road, but I still see this young man shining. And then I follow that up with one of everyone's favorite. And as I told him, he's one of the best to ever come through and wear the orange and blue, with Kendall Gill.
Yep.
And today, just finished recording with, you know, the point guard of that 89 team, and of course, Big Ten announcer of Fox Sports, with Steve Bardo. So got it going pretty good here, man. And it's just a lot of fun, and it's great to be able to celebrate our program.
Yeah, check out that pod. That's some firepower you're bringing on that pod. And you mentioned Io DeSumo. I mean, those are some great interviews you have. Io's towards the top of that for me. But those are also some great Illinois basketball players, Dion. And you said it. Io is going to put himself, he's already putting himself among the best to wear the orange and blue. And boy, he's talking about Baylor as a legacy game. And he certainly has left a legacy here. But he has taken his game to another level. I know it's just three games, but he has dominated in those three games. And obviously he and Preston went had a great battle the other day, and Io gets the last laugh there with some key shots at the free throw line. But how have you seen him take another step? Because he is playing like one of the few best players in the country.
Yeah, you know, you've seen some publications where they had Io listed as the number one point guard in the country right now. I, on my podcast, called him the number one two-way player in the nation. For those that don't know what that means, or you have heard that phrase used before, it's someone that's really good on the offensive end and really good on the back on the off defensive end.
Yeah.
And Io has been lights out on both ends. I mean, you mentioned Preston, and this is just one point I want to make before I really talk about him, is he took, you know, Preston had really gotten going early on in that game against Ohio, and Io says, no, I'm going to guard him. And yes, Preston still finished with 31 points because he's a great player, but Io made his job so much more difficult than what it was. And yes, he who laughs best. And so we are the ones that walked out with the W. So Io's 28, I think it was 28-7-6, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He has firmly put a stamp on his legacy as he continues to go here at the University of Illinois. But you mentioned how his game has changed. I mean, just remember when we watched him as a freshman, and he had a lights-out freshman campaign. Last year, there were some ups and downs, but the way he closed the year out with some of the big shots and in those big games, I don't know if there's been anyone that you can really put on that level with the number of games he did. Of course, there was Eddie Johnson's big shot, Nick's big shot, and then, of course, Andy Kaufman's. But I don't think any of them were as big as the ones that Io nailed down, especially, you know, the Wisconsin win, the Michigan win. I mean, those are huge. And he's taken his game even higher since then. And one of the things I love best about watching him is, you know, part of my criticism last year is that he didn't take control of the team early. Mm-hmm. And one of my observations was that he didn't take control early. When he walked out on the court this year and you look at him, he's the best player on the floor.
Yeah.
He looks like the best player on the floor, just in his gait. Now, let alone once he starts playing. I mean, his jump shot has improved. It's beautiful to watch what he's doing in the open court and in the half court. You can see the variety in the moves that he's worked on in the summer. When I had him on the podcast, one of the things I asked him was about his work ethic. And he was like, nobody's going to outwork me, basically, is what he told me. So all through COVID, all through the process with the NBA and how that was going to go, he was working. And you can clearly see the elevation in his game and the ability to be able to score at all four levels.
He's a man on a mission, that is for sure, and it's a great start to it so far. Obviously, the first two games were just what you want out of a top 10 team against lower level, you know, bottom, you know, 50 KenPom teams here, Dion. But then they got a scare against Ohio, and many of us thought that Brad Underwood, since they won, that might be the perfect thing to happen to them. But what is the fallout of that game for you? Like, what can be gained, and what were some weaknesses that Ohio really exposed?
Well, you know, I don't know if they really exposed very many weaknesses. Illinois, and what I think the problem was, as I look at it, is you go out and you beat your first two teams by a combined score of 55 points. You're looking at a team in Ohio that you don't really recognize or understand how good that team is and how well they're coached. And this is coming from a player and a coach. The coaches can tell you all the time about how good that is, but until you're actually out there on the court going up against them, you don't really get it. And I think Illinois was caught looking past this Ohio team. I think they were looking at Baylor. And they were saying, okay, well, you know what? We'll walk through these guys and we'll get out there. Now, the problem with that is you don't come out with the same energy that you should come out with. And the worst thing you can do, and I don't know if you've heard me say this, but this is one of the things that came from my high school coach and Bob Hambrick, and what Lou Henson used to always say as well, is give the other team confidence, mm-hmm. because then it's difficult to, you know, to take it away or to knock it down. And that's what happened with that Ohio team. I mean, they came out. They played really hard. They made some shots. Now you could see as the game went on, their confidence coming higher and higher. And we still, especially in that first half, wasn't playing with the necessary energy to take over that game or to, you know, take away their confidence. So that's what happens. That's what happens when you have young teams. I don't think there was a whole lot exposed. I mean, if you look at the guys and you look at the numbers and you look at the stats, we should have won that game. Mm-hmm. Now, my only question was the basket, you know, the points in the paint. But again, that kid had a great game. Yep. And he's an NBA player. I mean, that kid will be playing on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays and Sundays come next year. I mean, that's how good Preston is. And that kid's story was remarkable. And then everyone else, because we began to concentrate on him, was able to make some shots. But for the most part, coach's idea was to shut down their three-point shooters. They did a really good job at that, with the exception of Van de Pross, who was able to step out and knock down a few threes. Everybody else, they shut down. So the game plan, they actually executed. You can't allow teams, especially teams that you're supposed to beat, an opportunity to get confidence. Can't take anything away from that Ohio team. They're a really good team. And I mean, they're going to compete, and they're going to compete hard over in that match.
Well, Dion, we were all excited to see what this freshman class could do, especially these two freshman guards. And Adam Miller didn't take much time to get us excited. 28 points in his debut was a record for a freshman debut. Gets double digits in all three games. The shooting fluctuated, as it will. We did see a flash from Andre Curbelo in the second game, getting 18 points, a lot of that late in the game. What did you see from those two freshmen who obviously are going to go through some, you know, growing pains at some point, but need to be big parts of this team? What did you see from them?
Well, I was extremely impressed with both. Adam Miller, I'd watched during his time in high school, of course, being up here in Chicago. Love what he brings to the game, his ability to be able to shoot the basketball. And to be honest, Dave, we haven't seen all of his game. I mean, he has the ability to create off the dribble. I know that's not his role and probably won't be his role this year with the team, but he can do that. His mid-range game is, you know, is really, really good. So we actually saw him knocking down a couple of mid-range shots in that Ohio game. His ability to rebound the basketball, I think he has to develop more of a nose for it because he's good at it, which he got a couple of really key rebounds in that Ohio game as well. So when he learns to put all of those things together, he's going to be unstoppable. And one of my tweets during the second game, I believe it was, I told the Big Ten, the Illini fans that you may be looking at the freshman of the year, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And I don't think I'm going out on the limb when I say that, because that kid is just that good. And I think he'll be put in a position where he can shine as he already has so far within his freshman year. So very excited about what he has done and what he's going to do, because he's physically ready, as we have seen, and he's mentally ready, as we have seen. And Andre Cavallo, I don't know what you say. The front guard position for a freshman is one of the most difficult things, one of the most difficult positions coming in. He came in with a lot of talent, and I think he showed that it all measures up. That kid's a wizard with the basketball. And when he learns to not get too deep into the paint, which is one of those things, you know, when you're in high school, you can do that. When you're so much better than everyone else, you can do that. Players are big on this level. They're big, they're fast, they're long, they're athletic. So once he gets the feel of that, of when to penetrate, when not to penetrate, when to get to his pull-up jump shot and how to push it and where to push it in transition, he's going to be phenomenal. And I think if you saw later on in that Ohio game, he got better at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even the Ohio game. If you go to Chicago State game, he got better at it. He was even better at it in the whole Ohio game. And I think he will be better at it moving forward. It's all an opportunity to learn when you're a freshman, especially playing that point guard position.
Deion Thomas, you can catch the Field of 68 podcast, Champagne on Ice. So go search that and listen to his great interviews with some key Illini figures. Deion, I'm wondering what you make of Damonte Williams, now knockdown shooter next to his name. He's made 15 of his last 26. What's the impact? I mean, we know everything. All Illini fans know everything Damonte adds to the team. But when he can make a couple threes a game, what's that mean for Illinois?
Well, you'll remember just as I did last year how teams would basically play 4-on-5, yep. 5-on-4, you know, and because they felt they didn't have to defend him. I mean, which would open them up for some offensive rebounds. And like you said, we know Damonte is always in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And now with the work that he has put in on his shooting and even on his ball handling, you can see the difference in his game. You can't do that now. So what that'll do is you have to space out to him, which creates more space for our guys to get to the basket, Io to get to the basket, for Andre Cavallo to get to the basket, you know, Adam Miller to get to the basket. It's going to create so much more space because you have to respect him now as a shooter. And also what that'll do is it's going to improve his rebounding, because now it's so difficult to block out the guy that you're standing next to, especially if the ball is on the opposite end, on the opposite side of the floor, because you're watching the ball and you're trying to be, you know, be in your defensive position, that is going to open up more rebounding opportunities for him. As you saw, he had a double-double in the second game. And he's going to continue to get better with that since he worked. You know, I talked to his high school coach, David Williams, and that was one of the first things he told me. He was like, Deion, you're going to be very impressed by what Damonte does this year. And I was like, I already love Damonte. You know, as a coach, he is the ultimate glue guy. You want him on the team. He's like, no, wait till you see how he shoots the basketball. And here it is. I mean, he closed out the end of the last season shooting the ball extremely well, as you mentioned, and he has just done nothing but continue that. And that's a testament to his hard work.
Two guys that are going to be key for depth, and they're definitely veterans who got a lot of experience, but two guys who have had to change their roles a lot. Trent Frazier obviously has become a hound on defense. Can't give up some size, but we know he's pesky. And then Georgi Bishanishvili is still kind of adjusting to a way different role than he's had in the past. What have you seen from those guys early, and what's the key for those guys to, or what do you expect out of those guys, or does Illinois need from them this year?
Well, it's like you said, it's they have new roles, and it's just being an accepting their roles and being the absolute best at their roles. You know, I've given a lot of talks, and I always talk of one of my topics is being, you know, being the right piece in the puzzle. Those two are in a position where they can be the exact necessary pieces in the puzzle. We know what Trent can do defensively. But we also know that when Trent's feet is set and he's not taking bad shots, he's a 40%+ 3-point shooter. So that's going to be a tremendous help on the offensive end, because you're going to have to spread out in space to him. Spread out in space, we got guys that can get downhill, and now you open up Georgie playing one-on-one, and of course you open up Kofi playing one-on-one. And if nobody's down there is going to stop Kofi if you're one-on-one with him down low. So that's what Trent will bring. And what Georgie will bring, one, as I mentioned, is that post-scoring and that ability to score, go with his left shoulder or right shoulder and put the ball in the basket. But his ability to pass the basketball out of the post is probably second to none in the Big Ten. I mean, his skill level will open up so much more for himself as well as for the other players on the court. So you're right. Those two are going to be key in how far we go. And it's all going to be in how they accept their roles and how they excel in the roles that they're in.
Just a little bit of Jacob Grandison so far. You know, he's probably playing the minutes Kipper Nichols would have played last year. And I think we've seen the jumper is better, but he's probably going to need some time just to kind of get his bearing, right? What have you seen from Grandison so far?
Well, you know what I love most about Jacob is his energy. His nonstop energy. He's always in the paint, around the board, getting rebounds. But what most impressed me was, especially I think it was the Chicago State game. Well, no, both of the first two games, he got switched out on a smaller defender. And he was able to keep that smaller defender in front of him and use his length to make the shot difficult. That's one of the things that's key to him bringing. And again, he's kind of in that same boat that we were just talking about. And it's really being able to find your role, solidify what you do and what you're supposed to do in that role, being the best at it. And those two things, him shooting the basketball, his rebounding, and his on-ball and help-side defense are going to be huge for us. And I know Austin Hutchinson is out right now, but he's another piece in that same mold as Grandison that's going to be huge when it comes to helping Illinois as we go down the line. Because this is probably the most – no, this isn't probably. This is the most depth we have had in a very, very long time.
All right, I saved this guy for last because he's a big man and you're a big man, and I wanted to get your thoughts. Kofi Coburn walked into each of these games last week and gets a double-double. That's just how impactful he is when he's on the court. And I think we saw against Ohio, it wasn't the cleanest performance for Kofi, but when he was on the court, Illinois is just so much better. I think they were a plus 15 with him on the court. So just what have you thought? Because I think there's been some really good with Kofi, and then there's been, you know, some times that he gets the ball ripped away from him, Deion. So what did you think of Kofi's start to the season?
I think he started really well. I think when, you know, we look at him or our fans look at where he is and what he's done, we forget the fact that this kid's only been playing basketball for 4 years.
Yeah.
So he is still so green, and as great as Orlando Ortega is with training and teaching big, this kid is just barely touching the surface of where he's going to be. And as a post player, as you mentioned, growing up and coming in as a post player, that's one of the hardest positions and things you have to learn. Bringing the ball down. I remember my coach, Coach Hambrick, used to get on me so much about bringing the ball down. And you can't paddle kids like he did me, you know, back in the day. But bringing the ball down takes Kofi from being 7 foot to making him 5'10".
Yeah.
And that's something that he has to learn. And that's a feel that he's going to have to get. But what I am most impressed by his developers, last year he would post up on the post. This year I've seen him make more effort of using angles and getting both feet into the post, so into the paint, I mean. So now when he gets the ball in the post, he still wants to put the ball on the floor so he can power through and dunk things. when all he has to do is catch the ball and finish right over people, because nobody's really going to be able to block his shot or do anything with him because of his size and his strength. And if he continues to get that deep post position, he's going to kill people. I mean, it's like you said, it'll be men amongst boys against 95% of the people that he plays against. So that's going to be something that's key for him. And especially coming up in this next game, because Baylor has strong, they have tall people. They have long, they have length.
Yeah.
So now this is a place where he gets to use that, what he's learned so far, get that deep position, and then just turn around and just dunk it on it. But I've been extremely impressed by his growth and where he is so far this year.
Yeah, I sat there and I kept thinking to myself during the game, I think he can do more against some of these teams in the early going. And then I'm like, he's walking into double-doubles here, right? So it's almost like we set these high expectations because we saw it last year, and we expect him to just, I guess, turn into what Luka Garza was last year. But we know they're similar players. But, I mean, obviously he's got a chance to play at the NBA. So what's the progression you want to see from him moving forward, DM? Because I think he's a huge X factor against Baylor, because Baylor's guards are great. And boy, I think they're as good as anybody's in the country, but they don't have a post player like Kofi. So I feel like if he has a really good game, he could be the reason they win it.
No doubt. And that's what he does. It's phenomenal because he stays out of foul trouble for the most part. You know, those Baylor guards like to drive, they like to shoot. And what Kofi did, if we watch these three games that he just that we just played, is he didn't block a ton of shots, but he changed a lot of shots. He altered a lot of shots simply because he got his hands up on people and, you know, and he jumped in the air. That's going to be something that's going to be key, especially against the Baylor guards. And keeping him out of place. And what he's also been doing is rebounding the ball strong. I mean, three games, three double-doubles. He does a great job of getting both hands on the basketball most of the time. And if Kofi gets two hands on the ball, you're not taking the ball from him. So that's also been something that I've seen, that I've loved, and I think that he has continued to improve that and grow. And you're right. If he has anywhere near the games that he's had so far in these first three, we can win this game by 10 points.
Well, what do you think of this matchup, Dion? Because it's an old, guard-heavy Baylor team, kind of different than Baylor teams of the past that are kind of big, physical, play that zone. Now they play man-to-man. They shoot a bunch of threes. This is a great matchup. It's a really, really tough matchup, but it's definitely going to show where Illinois is at. So what do you think are the keys against this team? What do you think of them?
Well, the key, as you mentioned, the head of the snake for them is their two guards. And I think we have two very good defensive guards. So it's really key is going to be Io and Trent staying out of foul trouble, but in making those guys take those jump shots. We want them to jump shots. That gives us a better opportunity to get the ball off the glass. And then once we do that, it's all about getting down the floor and rebounding the basketball, and then turning those rebounds into transition baskets. So that's one of the things they don't do very well.
Io DeSumo called this a legacy game, Dion, and that he talks a lot about that, but like he thrives off that too. And that's the other part. Butler's, you know, an All-American too, but when you got a guy like DeSumo, it feels like he got a chance.
Oh, no. I mean, you definitely have a chance because, one, and you're right, he does talk about it a lot, and deservedly so. And I think Io recognizes that, you know, we haven't been in a two against five game since 2005.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a game of this caliber on national TV where everyone's going to be paying attention in a very long time. And I hope, you know, this kid thrives off of pressure. So he recognizes that. He understands that this is an opportunity not just to make a name for himself, but to make a name for this team and how they can go out and really make a mark and a name for themselves, put themselves in that stratosphere with 05 and 89 where people will recognize that 2021 is just as special. And this starts with this game. And it's great to hear that Io recognizes that, and I know he's going to push the other guys and make sure that they understand the importance of this as well.
It's fun to be in these games. Hopefully it's not an every 16-year occurrence, but yeah, I mean, this is fantastic to get ready for. Are you allowed there, Deion? Are you guys able to get there?
Yes, we are. Oh. So I am actually leaving tomorrow morning, and I'll get over there, afternoon. And I'll get over there, broadcast the game, and I'm not going to be driving back at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'll be staying the night and then coming back in the morning.
Well, as one of the few hundred people that are going to be there, Deion, enjoy it, man. It should be a fantastic college basketball matchup. And can't thank you enough, Deion, as always, for breaking it down here with us.
Well, anytime, Jay. And I got to tell you this, I'm looking forward to having you on my podcast too, man.
Anytime.
You know, I need not just my line. I want people that cover them, that can share some stories with them. And you have been embedded with this Illini team. And, you know, I'll say this, and people probably get upset with me, if not the best, one of the best to cover this Illini team. So looking forward to having you on Champagne on Ice. And you mentioned it earlier, so I got to tell the fans, check me out on Spotify as well as on Apple Podcasts, and then follow me on Instagram and Twitter, both Champagne on Ice. So looking forward to having you on, and it's always a pleasure to be able to share the mic with you, Jay.
Anytime, Deion. That means a lot coming from you. I really mean that. And yeah, check out the pod. Deion, have a fun day in Indianapolis. Enjoy the game.
I will, brother. Take care.
Great stuff as always from Deion Thomas. Not only one of the best Illinois basketball players of all time, but just one of the greatest people around Illinois basketball ever. So check out his podcast as we were talking about Champagne on Ice, the Field of 68. You can get that Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. And everybody, just enjoy the game tonight. I don't know what's going to happen. I would probably project Baylor to win this game just because they have more veterans. I think they have a little bit more offensive firepower, a little bit more experience in games like this, you know, going toe-to-toe with Kansas for some of those conference titles the last couple years. But, man, I mean, Baylor doesn't have a Kofi Coburn. I would assume who could be the best player on the court tonight. Adam Miller, we know, can be really, really good. So maybe he can match some of these Baylor players and secondary players and maybe play better than them. So Illinois is fully capable of winning tonight. But they are an underdog, and understandably so. But just to be back on this stage for Illinois basketball is great, and to have this opportunity is great. It says a lot about what Brad Underwood and his staff have been able to build, and not only through recruiting, but just through the culture and evaluating talent, getting these pieces to all fit together. Obviously, there are things that we saw, some flaws against Ohio, but I think that only makes them stronger going into this kind of game against this kind of opponent. So just enjoy it. Illinois is going to be in a lot of these games, a lot of national games this year. We've got another one next week against Duke. Got plenty throughout Big Ten play, including one Iowa matchup. Wish we had two. But, of course, Michigan State, Michigan, go up and down the line. Indiana is going to be pretty good this year. Ohio State's always pretty good. Rutgers, we know how tough those matchups have been. And it's just a fantastic Big Ten. Wisconsin, a couple games as well. Four of the top eight teams right now are in the Big Ten. So enjoy tonight's game. And we'll have the latest analysis, breakdowns, post-game. We'll have it all at IlliniInquirer.com, as always. So always appreciate you coming to the website, checking out our content there, but also all you podcasts, listeners and subscribers. We appreciate you as well. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us. We appreciate when you do that as well. Again, everybody, enjoy the late nights. Don't stay up too late, but we will. And you'll probably pay for it with work tomorrow, but it's nice to stay up for this kind of big event for Illinois athletics. It's been a while since we've done this. So enjoy it. Everybody take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.